Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. We especially want to say a word of welcome to you if you're visiting with us, and it's great to have you here with us. If you're joining us by way of the video live stream, we welcome you and say hi. Helen is on video this morning, so if you get a chance, leave a note in the chat. We'd love to hear that you're there. Also, if you're joining us by way of the audio podcast, we welcome you today as well. Just a note of those who are here as families and with young children, don't be afraid ever to get up and move about a bit if that's something that can help and sort of break the monotony of things. There are also some items there in the back corner that can be a distraction if necessary, so please feel free to make yourself at home, and we're glad to have you here with us. At the time of making communion, you're reminded that if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make communion in your home church, you're more than welcome to do so here at the cathedral. At the moment, we're not administering communion by way of intinction, which means dipping of the bread into the wine. So we're not doing that. If it's not your intention to drink from the common cup, just pass that by and take only the bread. So it's quite all right for you to receive in only one kind, that is only the bread. If you would rather have a blessing than make your communion, crossing your arms like this will indicate to the administrators that you request a blessing. And if you are in need of gluten-free bread, indicate that to us, and we have that available. This past week, Betty McDougall, my wife's mom, died on Thursday. So we're a family in mourning at the moment, but we are blessed by all of the expressions of condolence and appreciate all who have reached out to us. We're planning a funeral on Saturday, the 28th of December, at 2 o'clock here at the cathedral. So that's our intention at the moment, and there will be the usual obituary out before that with details about that. So If you would keep Kelly and her brother Sean and other members of their family in your prayers, that would be appreciated. In the service leaflet information this morning, you'll find some information in terms of update on our financial situation at the moment. So in the Bishop and Chapter News, there are some numbers there for those who prefer numbers. There's also a picture in the other part of the bulletin for those who understand better visually. Just a bit of high-level comment, if you like. There's some good news and there's some bad news. The good news is that our forecast for this year, that is what we had determined that we were going to need in terms of revenue in the form of offerings, was pretty much correct. So I think that's good news in that we were able to look that far ahead. We've done a lot of good stuff this year. Included in that was the replacement of the stairlift at the hall. So with the help of the Diocesan Synod and contributions from the congregation, we were able to complete that project, and that was a great thing. We've just completed a successful Giving Tuesday campaign where we decided that we would reach a bit farther out into our community and made a $2,000 commitment to a local school for their food and clothing program, and we exceeded that $2,000 by a few hundred dollars, which we're thankful for. So response to special appeals has been good, and for that we're thankful. And so we've done, as I say, we've done some very good things. The bad news is that for this year we're running a deficit. And to date, to the end of November, that's about $77,000. So we're still waiting to determine, of course, whether or not we're able to sort of survive that deficit based on underspending. So for several years in the past, one of the ways that we've been able to make our way through is that we haven't actually spent all that we planned to spend for the year. So the underspending part of that is yet to be seen. Whatever any of us can do before the end of the year to help bring us in sort of on target is certainly appreciated. And so, as I said, the Giving Tuesday campaign is now complete. And we were pleased to have in excess of the $2,000 that we had committed. So thank you for your contributions to that and for the way that it was possible for us to make a difference in our community. I might just mention quickly to you also that the stewardship study that I've been talking about for the last several weeks will be a go for January. So it's about 7 or 8 sessions studying Christian stewardship. It's a certificate program being offered through Atlantic School of Theology. There are 4 individuals from the Cathedral congregation who have expressed interest in being part of that. I've also heard from 8 others elsewhere in the Archdeaconry of Fredericton. So it looks like we might have 10 or a dozen of a group for that. Still, if that's something that you might be interested in, don't hesitate to let me know. I'd be happy to add your name to the list as we go into January and start to firm up some of the details around that. Or if you just need some more information, please let me know. And also, just to mention that this past Wednesday, we began the preparation for confirmation, reaffirmation, and reception. We had about a dozen folks gather on Wednesday evening for our first time together. If that was something that you had thought about doing or that you still would be interested in being part of, don't hesitate to talk to Kurt Schmidt or myself. We'd be happy to give you more information about that. We're actually this morning going to offer some prayer for those who are participating in that preparation. And we're going to admit them to the catechumenate, which is the group doing some study toward that confirmation, reaffirmation, and reception goal. So we're going to do that just before the peace this morning, and I'll call those folks up at that time for that. And also, just to mention that this afternoon at 4 o'clock is the Christmas Lessons and Carols, the Festival of Lessons and Carols. As of about 10 minutes ago, I think there was still one lesson open for reading. So if there's somebody that was interested in doing a reading, I think there was one left. But certainly an invitation for you to return and to join with us in that traditional Christmas worship. Is there anything else that needs announcing? Kirk, you have something else. Okay, so youth group is this evening starting at?
After the carols.
After lessons and carols, so after 5, okay? Great, thank you. And you're meeting at the hall? Youth group at the hall this evening at 5 o'clock. Thank you. Yep. Anything else? This being the fourth Sunday of Advent, we're going to begin with the lighting of the candles of the Advent wreath, and the Robinsons are going to help us with that today. So if you would like to come forward, and
today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Through the prophets, God promised a Messiah. We are in awe of Jesus' birth, that God came to us this way in a weak and vulnerable baby. The mighty God of the universe has become Emmanuel, God with us.
The first Advent candle reminds us to have hope for a better world.
The second Advent candle reminds us that God's dream for peace can become real in our world.
The third Advent candle reminds us that God calls us to share joy by being part of the healing of the world. Today we light the fourth Advent candle. It reminds us of God's promise to be with us and to love us now and always.
Loving God, we thank you for your promise that you will be with us always. We rejoice in your faithfulness. Give us courage to respond with the same love and compassion shown by Jesus. Amen.
Bye.
Heavenly Father, who chose the Virgin Mary, full of grace, to be the mother of our Lord and Savior, now fill us with your grace that we in all things may embrace your will and with her rejoice in your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will. O God, in the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Elizabeth said, "The child in my womb leaped for joy." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel on the fourth Sunday of Advent is truly an Advent message. A message of hope and understanding that starts out slowly and quietly. Mary, soon to be mother of Jesus, visits her cousin Elizabeth, soon to be mother of John the Baptist. It's easy at this time of year to get royally confused on the timelines. Having just read for two Sundays running about John baptizing on the banks of the Jordan River, today takes us back about 30 years. Back to the time of these two significant births in religious history. Mary set out, Luke tells us, and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah, the local priest in that town, the aging Elizabeth, the preacher's wife, I suppose. Elizabeth, too, had the lineage of a priestly line, being a descendant of Aaron. And if you remember, at the angel's announcement of the birth of John, Zechariah would be struck speechless. And at John's birth, his prophecy about how the child would prepare the way for the Messiah. "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High," said Zechariah, "for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way." So this is an intimate moment between two would-be mothers. Both women are pregnant with significance. Between them, they bear the messenger and the message. We can only anticipate the growth and full manifestation of the momentous events, but we don't experience them just yet. The fourth Sunday of Advent is the last long breath before the birth of the Messiah. And it's interesting, you know, that statistically, this Sunday is one with some of the highest worship attendance of the year. For many, this Sunday will be the only opportunity to hear a genuine message of Advent that is as distinct from Christmas. Advent is all about anticipation. And waiting is not a skill that comes naturally. And so the impulse to ignore Advent altogether is a strong one. By the fourth Sunday of Advent, it's almost irresistible. But it's not yet Christmas. Many churches have long since given up the battle and have been singing Christmas carols now for several weeks. In some denominations, today is referred to as Christmas Sunday. And many won't worship on Christmas Day. The text from Luke may offer both warrant and roadmap for resisting the temptation to jump the gun on Christmas. And most preachers know that takes great pastoral fortitude as we continue to answer questions about why the lights on the Christmas tree aren't lighted yet, and why hymns lack that Christmassy luster we all expect. Well, hang on a day or two more. Actually, hang on about 4 hours. This Sunday is as much for the lonely and fragmented soul as it is those who have long gone headlong into the Christmas rush. And even those of us who have can probably identify something in ourselves in needing to pause just now and secure some deeper grounding as we walk these last few days and hours toward Noel. Luke bequeaths to us a wonderful pre-Christmas gift, a small story about a genuine connection between two pregnant women of different generations. Mary was just a young woman. Elizabeth passed the age of childbearing. In this text, we see God at work in a deeply personal way that also just happens to change the world. The work of the Holy Spirit is made manifest as the baby in Elizabeth's womb, that is John, responds to Mary's greeting. As well-timed baby kicks often do, this one opens up the recipient to a new awareness and understanding of the unfolding events. We might ask, I suppose, whether the kick during a job interview means take the position or run away fast. And it might be even interesting if we were to ask parents to share their own baby kick stories. Mary's greeting of Elizabeth starts a cycle of recognition followed by response that could serve to echo among us even today as the biblical world absorbs even our own present reality. Mary's response was Magnificat, which takes the form of a canticle churches in the Anglican tradition recite every evening at evening prayer. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he that is mighty has magnified me, and holy is his name. And Mary goes on to describe how the child she bears is to turn the world upside down. Lift up the lowly, cast down the mighty, feed the hungry, send the rich away empty. Holy is his name. It's of importance that we note that the festival we are about to celebrate gathers around a scene of absurdity. the coming of the Messiah, who will redeem Israel and the world, is anticipated and proclaimed not by archangels or high priests or emperors or even ordained preachers, but rather two of society's marginalized who make outrageous claims about a topsy-turvy time on the horizon. A long-expected king is to be born, not in a castle, but a feeding trough. His throne will one day be a cross. The good news is that a light is about to shine that can never be extinguished. The light will shine on an upside-down version of a world we all know far too well. The kingdom he comes to bring is one where true power comes through love, true justice through righteousness, true forgiveness through mercy. Much can be learned from taking a few moments to sit quietly with our brothers and sisters as the world around us pushes relentlessly toward a louder, larger, and ever more expensive December 25th. We all need to sit with a people, with a God, who accepts us for who we are, with all of our doubts and our hurts and our questions. Today we hear a humanized story meant to prepare us for the grand history-changing birth that is yet to come. Those of us who linger here will find ourselves strengthened, prepared, and deepened for Christmas celebration. Amen. And you're welcome to remain seated if you like. On the first page, the right-hand column near the bottom of the page, an affirmation of faith, and I invite you to join with me as we say it together. We believe in God, creator and lover of the earth, origin and destiny of us all. We believe in Jesus the Christ, God coming to us in the fragile promise of a baby yet unborn, who emerges as the herald of hope. Plunged into death and hell, he broke free the captives and is leading the way to the land of promise, where justice and peace will prevail. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who implants the seed of truth, brings us to birth as the body of Christ, and empowers us to confront and transform all that is corrupt, degrading, and deceitful. We believe in the coming reign of God, announced by the Baptist. It has drawn near to us in Jesus, and will be consummated in the glorious marriage of earth and heaven, and gathered into the joyous fulfillment of God's desire. For the coming of that day we work and pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
God of all prayers, unfold our hands, undo our fears, unlock our minds, that we may be truly open to let you enter in. Heavenly Father, grant us unity in service that as one body, led by the Holy Spirit, we may offer worship fitting to you. We pray for the Church of Christ throughout the world. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Church of the Province of Uganda, Archbishop Stephen Kazimba, Primate and Bishop of Mitiana. In the provincial cycle of prayer, we pray for the ecclesiastical province of BC and Yukon, Archbishop Lynn McNaughton and the Provincial Council. We pray today for our bishops, Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Anne, our acting primate, David, our metropolitan, and for our retired bishops. We pray for this cathedral church, its bishop and chapter, and for our Dean, Jeffrey. Support, Lord, all members of the church who give their talents and gifts to proclaim your message to the world. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our own country, for our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. We pray for the common good of the communities in which we live and we work. We pray that our leaders may hear the voices of those who need their help. Lord, give us all compassion that we may hear their voices and responding we may support them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we stand in Advent looking forward to Christmas. We come with our arms laden, full of concern as we watch a world filled with conflict, full of compassion as we watch people suffer quietly at home or in hospital, and maybe full of regret as we look at our own anger and mistakes. Our arms are full of good things too, our preparations for Christmas, our homes, our families, and friends. Help us, Heavenly Father, to lay our burdens at the foot of the cross and to lay our gifts at the altar. Then, Lord, with empty hands, we can lift our arms in praise to you and open our hearts to one another in love. Lord, in your mercy, Father, inspire us with a sense of your healing power as we pray for all who are sick, at home or in hospital. And we pray that you will enfold them in your loving care. In a moment of silence before God, we pray for those known to us personally. And in this cathedral community, we remember especially Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Graham, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David and Janice, Dolph, David and Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, and Savannah. We remember all who are in need of the support of our prayers. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we remember those who have died in the peace of Christ. And today in particular, we remember their families and friends who grieve at this time. We remember the life and witness of dear Betty McDougall, mother of Kelly Hall. Rest eternal grant unto her, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon her. God of mercy, help us to listen to your voice, a voice that speaks of peace to all people. Let that sound resonate within us until a whisper becomes a shout which can't be ignored. Move us, Father, with your love, so that our actions echo your peace and we may bring tidings of comfort and joy to those touched by conflict. Fill us with your hope, O Lord, and quiet the fear of conflict which divides us as we seek to build a future together of true and lasting peace. We ask this and all of these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Prince of Peace. Amen.
In the world and in this season, there are many claims on our lives. We take this time to remember that in our baptism, Christ claimed us as his own. We acknowledge before God and one another that we have not followed Jesus Christ with all our heart and mind and strength. Trusting in God's grace, let us pray. God, our Savior, we ask for your mercy. Though we have heard Mary's song, we still seek security in pride and power and possessions. Though we know your story, we resist the costs of following you. We pass by those considered lowly in this world. We turn away from hungry people who still wait to be filled. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to work for the justice you intend. Make us messengers of the peace you bring. As we wait for you, turn our apathy into acts of love and service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. Friends, God is for us and not against us. For that very reason, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Believe the good news. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I'm going to ask those who are participating in preparation for confirmation, reaffirmation of faith, or reception into the Anglican Church. Now, there are those who are seeking those things and also those who are supporting them, and I would invite you to come up as well. So if you'd like to come forward, and if anyone didn't have the copy of the right, I have some extra here. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we proceed. To those of you who seek confirmation, reaffirmation of faith, or reception, what do you seek?
Life in Christ.
Jesus said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Do you accept these commandments?
I do.
Do you promise to be regular in attending the worship of God and in receiving instruction?
I do.
Will you open your ears to hear the word of God and your heart and mind to receive the Lord Jesus?
I will, with God's help.
And to those who sponsor and companion, will you who sponsor, mentor, and support these persons by prayer and example, help them to grow in the knowledge and love of God?
I will.
May Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has put the desire into your hearts to seek the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant you the power of the Holy Spirit to persevere in this intention and to grow in faith and understanding through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
We wait, your call.
Gracious God, by the power of the Spirit who sanctified the mother of your Son, make holy all we offer you this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. During the great Thanksgiving, you're welcome to remain standing, be seated, or kneel as you are most comfortable. In this prayer, we offer our thanks to God for all that he gives to us, most especially as we wait for the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank him for the strengthening of his Holy Spirit throughout the ages. How can we thank you, O God, for sun and moon and stars, for breath and life and all things good? For your steadfast promises and your faithful love, for the day that is surely coming when all things will be made new. We give you thanks, Holy God, for Jesus, who came as your living word to announce a kingdom of justice and righteousness and to announce the good news of your coming realm. With thanksgiving, we remember how, when the hour had come, Jesus took his place at the table with the apostles. He said to them, "I will not eat this Passover again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." With thanks and praise, we offer ourselves to you, sharing this holy meal, remembering Christ's dying and rising and praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." We recognize that Christ has come, that Christ is coming, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this bread, this cup, upon these people, Christ's body and blood given in love for the world. Make us one in the Spirit, one church, and one with Christ our Lord. Make us gentle, joyful, thankful people, serving our neighbors, worshiping you alone. Fill us with grace to embrace your will in all things and rejoice with Mary in your salvation. Keep us in the peace of Christ until you gather us at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our God, even as we wait, is here in the breaking of bread. Come, Lord Jesus, come. the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we stand, let us pray. Faithful God, in this sacrament we receive the promise of salvation. May we, like the Virgin Mary, be obedient to your will. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Go in peace, trusting in the promises of God, and may the God of justice be your path, the Lord of mercy be your guide, and the Spirit of love be your light, this day and forevermore. Amen.
And now it's time for